Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter. This morning, Jesus speaks another story, another parable. He talks about a great chasm between two people. I want you to think about what that chasm might be, and then ponder this last line about people not being convinced even if someone rises from the dead. Jesus said, "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where the rich man was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us is a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us.' The rich man said, 'Then, Father, I beg you to send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment.' Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Your brothers should listen to them.' He said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' Abraham said to him, 'If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Congregation, please be seated. I would like to invite the children to come forward to begin the good news of the gospel message. All invited. Always good to see a cloud of witnesses, yes. Welcome all. So let me ask you this, have you ever taken some trips with your family? Yes. Have you ever been to a very, very, very big place called the Grand Canyon? Has anybody ever seen the Grand Canyon? You've seen it in a picture. Has anybody heard of the Grand Canyon? Yes. Have you seen pictures of it? Is it a big place? What does it look like? You could fall down it pretty easy, I think. What else? Can you? Yeah, Martin. It looks like a small hole. Yes. It looks like, how many varies was that? A very, 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 very big crack in the ground. Could you get across it? Yes. Or what? Yeah. So, today we're talking about a big, big chasm that it's hard to get across. Sometimes when we feel bad, or maybe we feel angry, or we feel alone or lost, we can feel like there's a big space between us and anyone else. Has anybody ever felt like that? Yeah, have you? Yeah. So I wonder how we get across to the other side. Yeah.
Trying to build a very, very big, long bridge.
What kind of bridge would you build? Yeah. To get to some... A bridge to help you find other things. And what do we need most? Things or people?
People.
People, that's right. And if we're mad or sad or lost or lonely or isolated from others, you have to forgive them. That's right. In our story today, we might think of one way to get to the other side is Jesus forgiving people. That's one way to get from one side to the other, to bring folks together. What's another thing that... What does God give us that brings us together as people, yeah? It's a very good thing.
Love.
That gets us to the other side, doesn't it? If God loves us, sends Jesus to give us forgiveness, brings us together, yeah. It's hard, it's hard to be jealous and love at the same time, right? Love casts out jealousy. And jealousy is like a big cave and cavern you can't get across, but love brings us together. So that's the message of Jesus for us today, that the way for us to get across to one another in care and love is through Jesus' forgiveness and love for us. Gather around and let's have a prayer. Yeah, let's all join hands. And this would be like a... Come on here, hon. And when we're all joined hands, aren't we together? It's like we crossed over the big chasm, right? God gathers us in love and forgiveness. We give you thanks, O Lord, for these children and that you always pass over the great chasm to embrace them in love and life. And you send them forth to be... the good news of your gospel. We pray for all those who are in need in the world today and feel like they are lost. We pray that you would use us as instruments of your peace. In Jesus' name we pray. So say amen. Amen. Thank you all. Thank you all for coming. So 2 years ago, when my daughter still lived in Phoenix, we did visit the Grand Canyon. Valerie and I took our two granddaughters there. And that truly was a chasm, and we didn't see any way across. Although, you may remember, am I right about this? There was this some guy named Evel Knievel who had a rocket-powered motorcycle. Did he make it, or was he glad that he had a parachute, too? As I was speaking with the children, I wonder if we haven't experienced some larger chasms in our lives. Sometimes the gulf between individuals seems so wide, the estrangement between one person and another becomes so pronounced that neither seems to be able to cross over this great chasm to repair relationship. The other thing I was thinking about, how about the political chasm in our country? Of course, both sides assume that they are righteous. There's only a small aisle in between, right, in the Congress, but between the two parties, but isn't the reality just this chasm? We don't seem to be able to get across it. Kind of to reflect the lesson today, it's a hell of a way to run a country. Our parable is based on a single individual, traditionally known, thanks Stephen Mager for your explanation about Dives. Yeah, and we'll hear some about that later, I guess, in the anthem. But the rich man known as Dives, and he was very rich by all accounts, dressed in that royal color of purple, fine linens, ate sumptuously every day, lived in a gated community. And then there was Lazarus. He had no home, really lived outside the gates, outside the walls of the city. Was there any place for him to stay? Probably not. No food, full of sores. Even the dogs paid more attention to him than Dives did. Now that's a gulf. That's a chasm. Say, distance between life and death. And during those times, as in ours, Lazarus wasn't just the only one longing to satisfy his hunger in the society of that time. Huge numbers. It's estimated perhaps that 90% of the population was in poverty. Maybe they weren't all at the gates, but large, large numbers were in deep despair, deep poverty, longing for life. Great numbers longing for life. As I think about this parable and think about our age and people longing and hoping for life, I think of this chasm-sized number of 65 million people who are now refugees, desperately seeking life, trying to escape ethnic wars or drug wars or deep poverty, all these things that seem to doom them, that set them so far apart from healthy society that there seems to be no hope. The great chasm lies in the human heart, and so becomes woven, systematized into our political, our cultural, our economic institutions. I believe that's what the great prophet Amos last week and this week is speaking about the great chasm between those who have much and those who have very, very little or who are oppressed. It leads to a destruction of the cohesion of society itself. These great chasms shake the foundations often of our personal relationships. And so when they become a way of life in our society, they shake the very foundations of our social cohesion. What the prophets and Jesus also point out is that a chasm between individuals and societies, which prevents folks from seeking out the lost, as Jesus was about in this gospel, this also causes a great chasm to form between God and God's creatures, between God who sent Jesus for life to seek and save the lost. How do we get across? How do we bridge the gap? Perhaps the great chasm would have closed had Dives been willing to ask for forgiveness from Lazarus. But you notice, even as the story goes along, even in his fallen state, he's looking out only for his own kin. He's only concerned about his brothers, and he still sees Lazarus as not a whole lot more than an errand boy. And did you ponder that last line about that Jesus speaks? It seems interesting from one who is going to rise. An interesting line. Not even one back from the dead will help. Won't change hearts. Won't bridge the gap. Jesus' life, death, and resurrection offer something beyond this story. The chasm is bridged, is erased by Jesus, who stands with the lost like Lazarus, and who offers forgiveness to all who have participated in ignoring the lost, like Dives. And it is so that we do not believe simply because Jesus appeared on the earth after having been killed. We believe because he has connected us once again to one another and to God through his death and resurrection, through his forgiveness and the promise of life. Because he lives, we shall live also. So the story illustrates that not even one who rises from the dead is enough, but it is in the forgiveness, it is in the care, it is in the redemptive act of being one with us in our fallenness into the chasm. But the story also illustrates that the threat of punishment and fear won't do it either. Didn't seem to do it for Dives. Fear may motivate. It may motivate one to act in self-interest, as Dives did. But fear does not help us bridge the gap. Jesus seeks and saves the lost, and he really, in his life, death, and resurrection, offers something more to us than he tells us in this parable. He offers this great embrace of free forgiveness, as we spoke about in the confirmation class today, costing nothing, bridging the gap. By his own death and resurrection, the cross bridges that gap. Jesus bears the fear, he endures the chasm, even the depths of brokenness and disconnection from God, and offers forgiveness and the promise of life. Our brokenness is healed. Through faith in Christ Jesus, his actions and his promises for us, the chasm has come together, and we are called to community with one another and God. Brothers and sisters, bridge the gaps. Be the resurrection. Amen.